So, brethren, I want to begin by telling you about a show that we were back in 2024. My wife Debbie and I were watching McNeil's series on the Book of Acts. Can't think of his first name right off, but Mr. McNeely's series on the Book of Acts. So this particular night, he was covering chapter 2 of the Book of Acts, and he got to verse 42. He mentions this scripture, and he stops for a second, and he says, you know, this scripture just sums up what the church of God should look like. He said the attributes that you should find in God's church. And so he thought it was quite amazing, this particular scripture. So he mentioned, he said, well, this would even be a good topic for a message at church. And so my wife said, quick, dear, write that down. Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll give it. So today I would like to take a close look at the attributes that Luke, the author of Acts, describes here in Acts. Today I would like to highlight four attributes that we can learn from this scripture and use it as a type of formula for keeping any church healthy and strong. So if you'd like to turn with me to Acts 2, we'll begin with verse 40. We'll be reading through verse 42. So this is Acts 2, 40 through 42. So Luke writing here, he says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, or to the church. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So Luke here mentions four attributes of this brand new church of over 3,000 newly baptized members. Well, the first attribute that is mentioned is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The context here is a brand new church of over 3,000 members, primarily Jews, but from all walks of life, which is mentioned in Acts 2:5. Says that they are from every nation under heaven. And yet they believed what Peter had just told them and wanted to follow what the apostles were teaching. They weren't trying to change the doctrines or come there with their own opinions or ideas, but trusted that these men were God's apostles and could be trusted. They were ready and willing to be taught. They knew the apostles had been taught by as disciples of Jesus Christ, and now believed this man, was the Messiah and their Savior that had been crucified. And their attitude was humble and teachable. What a great example for us to be just as teachable and excited to study our Bibles and to listen attentively each Sabbath and Holy Day to learn more of God's way of life. If you'd like to turn to Isaiah 66:2, here it mentions the attitude that we should have each week. Isaiah writes here in verse 66, verse 2, for all these things my hand is made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Again, all these 3,000 new members weren't there to try to put forth their ideas or change doctrine. They were there to learn and to grow. The next attribute I want that Luke mentions here in this verse 42 is fellowship. Verse 42 again, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It says that they continued steadfastly. The Greek word meaning here for fellowship includes the idea of communicate, partnership. That is literally participation. The brethren didn't want to go their separate ways that day. They wanted to stay together and talk. And what did they want to talk about? Well, first they were eager to get to know each other because they were just meeting each other for the first time. Plus all they had experienced that day. Remember, this is chapter 2. God's Spirit had just been given. The people had just seen God's Spirit descending upon them as doves. That day they had just seen so many miracles, and they had all just repented and been baptized and had hands laid upon them. They had seen and heard and were a part of so many miracles that day. So they had a lot to talk about. But brethren, all of us have gone through similar miracles and experiences in our life. But each of us has our own story to tell of how we were called and converted and all that to share with each other. So also we can encourage and learn from each other. Even if we just listen, we are giving that person a chance to share their story and sometimes their burden or their trial. One definition of fellowship is participation. And that is what we each do each Sabbath, is we participate in our worship of God as the body of Christ. We're all participating in that experience. If you want to turn to Hebrews 13:16, or I could just read it, it says, "But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." And the King James Version says, to do good and communicate. The word communicate is the same Greek word for fellowship. So it says that God is well pleased when he sees us communicating and sharing and participating. The third attribute I want to point out in this verse 42 back in Acts, it says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread." And this church is exceptional at breaking bread. I love to come up here for the food. Here, Luke uses the term breaking bread, which was then and still is a nice way to refer to eating together, to sharing a meal. Eating together generally adds a lot of fellowship. Eating together can be at church or at someone's home, in a restaurant, or at a park. And having brethren over to your house for dinner is a wonderful way to be hospitable, to really get to know someone. Let's read the next couple of scriptures here in Acts, beginning with verse 43. "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So, you know, it's here that the breaking of bread is mentioned in 42 and then again in 46. So I think it was a big part of their church. I mean, a big part of their fellowship was the sharing of food. I want to mention here about verse of chapter 2 is describing the special circumstances of a lot of people from out of town not having food, not having a place to stay, and not having any money. The principles certainly apply today, but we ordinarily are not in that type of situation. However, this does show the great hospitality and sacrifice that the brethren were willing to make for each other. And I'm sure God was very well pleased with that. And also, when we think of the stranger that comes to church, it says they're only strangers because we haven't gotten to meet them, get to know them yet. And so it's just one thing to keep in mind when we fellowship and have people over, that having strangers over is something that will be such a delight for them and for you. So I just made a note here that throughout the whole the church here in Acts 2 that they had just started, they already felt the need to spend quality time eating together, sharing their home and their food and being hospitable. It's just such a great way to get to know people. The last attribute mentioned here in verse 42, it says, so in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So it says they continued steadfastly in prayers. Continued implies their prayers were not temporary or short-lived. They kept on praying and they continued steadfastly. They were devoted and dedicated and dependable and consistent in their praying. And I think that's why Luke mentions that at the very end, that they continued also in their prayers. It says that and they continued steadfastly. When we pray together as a church, we bring God into our fellowship. We invite Him to be a part, to give His blessing on the service, which includes the fellowship. Also, when we learn of the trials others are going through, we can more effectively pray for each other. When we share with each other our trials, we can be even more effective. The prayers, both as a church and our own private prayers, make us stronger and more godly and more of a united church family. And I want to read from, I'll just mention here in Colossians 4:2, it says that they continued earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. And then I want to turn to Ephesians 6, verse 17 through 19. Over there. Okay. I'll pick it up in verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for who? The end of that verse there says, to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then he adds, and for me, that utterance may be given to me. And so I, you know, to me that verse was a little hard understanding the way it was written, verse 18. So in the contemporary English version, I'm just going to read that same verse, verse 18. It says, never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the Spirit. Stay alert and keep praying for God's people. I thought that was a good translation. And then the New English Translation, verse 18, with every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and do this end, be alert. And to this end, be alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. So the point is, you know, that we just to be praying consistently and continually for each other. We are the saints mentioned here in this verse that Paul is speaking of and that need our prayers. So in conclusion, brethren, let us follow the example of this early church, continuing steadfastly in the church's doctrines. Number two, take every opportunity to fellowship with your family and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be honest, be hospitable whenever possible, having brethren over and eating out. As my wife puts it, to peel back the onion and really get to know each other. And number four, to be a praying church, to fervently pray for each other and for the local church and also for the ministry that needs our prayers at all times. Let's strive to apply these attributes of this early church that was just getting started so we can be even more vibrant and healthy as a church and one that is well-pleasing to God our Father and Jesus Christ. Thank you.